Have you ever doubted God? Have you ever wondered if he's real or if he cares, if he's around? Today, we're going to talk about dealing with doubt.
Welcome to Sage Reverie, a podcast where we seek to live well and live wisely. I'm Mike Wilson.
And I'm Wes Smith.
We live in the great state of Wyoming, and each week, from a biblical perspective, we discuss a trending topic and what others are saying about it. If you're using these episodes for your group, there are discussion questions in the description. And for more information about our ministry, visit church307.com.
Wes, faith is a big deal in Christian circles and with God. He's invited us to put our faith in him. And so it can be kind of scary when we go through a season in our life when we're doubting God, or we doubt something that he's doing, or feel like he's absent. Have you ever gone through a period in your life where you feel like you doubted God?
Sure. I can't point to a specific time that I have doubted the existence of God. But I can point to a number of times in which I have doubted that God cared about me.
Okay.
Like, so I grew up in a family that believed wholeheartedly in the existence of God and even the goodness of God and those kinds of things. So the existence was almost never in doubt in my life. I might have had moments where I took another look because I heard something or saw something. But I have had significant moments where God, do you care about me? Because it doesn't look like that. Our daughter was born without eyesight and went through a number of extremely painful surgeries and processes that in the end did not work well and led to all kinds of extreme misery. And then that leads, in life, when you have one trauma, it leads to other traumas. And then those days would be the first time I remember coming face to face with does the idea that God intervenes and cares about me, is that true?
Yeah.
So he's probably out there somewhere, right? He probably exists. I'm not doubting that, not even more than probably. I'm certain of that.
Yeah.
But do I matter? Does my heartache really matter in this situation? So there's been that moment. And then there's been subsequent moments where, I'm giving my life for this effort or this cause, and I don't see you, God, partnering with me in any way.
Yeah.
What's the deal? Yeah. So that's typical for all of us who follow Christ to have those kind of moments for sure.
I've struggled. Every once in a while, I'll tip my toe into, or in my life, I've asked the question, okay, is God real? Is there enough evidence of this? I have gone through seasons where I'm like, I just need to make sure. And so I've read all the new atheist books and trying to figure out, is there a good argument against God? They've never really done, they're not convincing to me. They don't have any answers for me, but I have doubted maybe we're mishearing God. Maybe we aren't following him correctly. Maybe the things that my pastor told me about God are wrong. And so the doubting more for me is I need to go back and make sure that I've thought through this and I'm not just accepting that something that somebody else told me. But I think most people are like you, in that when they have doubts, it is for some event in their life or some tragedy or some pain that has hit them. And it's in those seasons that maybe my pastoral ministry gets a little weak, because I need to be speaking to their situation, to their pain, and not trying to jump into a logical argument about why God is who he says he is and why he's good, and instead of just love people in that in that season.
Part of my maturity has been so I believed in God based on what God had done in my life. Like the opposite of what we just talked about, right? My belief and love for him came from, I absolutely am convinced that he's real in my life. And I was interacting with him and seeing him do things that were unbelievable. And then my doubt would come from when I didn't see that. And part of my maturity has come from now, whether he intervenes or not, I know he's real. And part of that was a practice of journaling for me. When I write down, this happened today and I absolutely am convinced God intervened, and or I had this thought today that could have come from nobody else than the voice of God, in my mind. That had to be something God brought into my mind. And then I can go back and read that in those moments. But if we can come to a conclusion about God's goodness outside of what he either is or isn't doing in our personal life,
yeah,
that's where the greater maturity comes from. But I think that's a lifetime journey to get there. I'm not all the way there yet. I think that's a lifetime journey. And I don't think you don't erase doubt immediately, and God understands that. Now, we don't lose our relationship with him just because a time of doubt will come.
Right.
Right. The guy says to Jesus, I believe, but not all the way. Help my unbelief.
That's good.
Right. And Jesus still walks and heals and does his work and just lets the guy journey through that.
Yeah.
That's where I am. I pray that probably three times a week. God, I believe, but there's this part that doesn't yet fully believe.
Yeah.
Help that.
Yeah.
Help that.
And we're all there, really.
Oh,
all of absolutely. Us can relate to that guy and say,
yeah,
I trust you everywhere except this area, God, you got to help me because I'm having a hard time getting there. All of
I'm
us.
I'm not sure you'll help me with that pain.
Yeah.
Like, will you just let that happen and not care? I think no, but I see others and I've experienced pain. Are you, I believe in you, but do I believe I can trust you with that?
Yeah.
Right. That child.
Yeah.
Right. As a parent, like, but I don't see you always intervening when I think you should be intervening.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold back a little belief. Help me to let go of all of it. Right. So.
Yeah. I think we think of faith as a black and white. You either have it or you don't have it. And there's a line that you have to cross. And when you cross that line, you're saved. And when you're on this side of it, you're not. When you're on this side of it, you are.
Right.
When Paul says that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness.
Right. Right.
My natural thought is, okay, I have to have, in order to be saved, I have to have faith like Abraham, which sounds impossible. The guy took his son up on a mountain to sacrifice him to God. I'm like, I admire that faith. There is no way.
No way.
Like, I love you, God, but if you ask me to do that with my son, I'm doubting you quick.
Right. But this is also the guy who told other cultures and kings, I'm not actually married to my wife.
Right, that's true.
I like if you're going to maybe hurt me because of like her, like take her.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That was horrible faith. Yep, like I'm a little above that. Yep. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. He's got, there's this roller coaster. Yeah, faith is absolutely. Not just like a constant,
totally.
I've got it all or I've got none of it. Yeah. We all go through these seasons of doubting and struggling and questioning.
Yeah.
We've seen enough research in the church recently to recognize a period of that happening is often when people leave their homes. Mm-hmm. Most people who are followers of Christ because their parents handed them their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, that's the largest percentage of Christians are people that just learned what they believe from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And because there is this handoff that has to happen, there's always this, did you watch the Olympics?
Yeah.
There was the relay race where they, American guys cannot get the baton pass right. It's like every year the Americans cannot figure out how to pass a baton from one person.
Right.
There's this handoff that happens between parents and kids. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's some fumbling that happens in that. And so we've recognized that there is a massive moment of doubt that happens to kids as they're leaving home or at a certain point, different kids at different times, when they start to doubt, is this real or not? Actually, it's usually probably when they hear a professor talk about how they're dumb to believe that there's a God or anything like that. They hear somebody like Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, yeah, Chris.
Religion is our first, that's why I'm so fascinated with it. It's our first version of the truth. It's our first attempt as a species. It's what we tried when we didn't know anything. We didn't know we lived on a spherical planet. We didn't know that our planet revolved around the sun. We didn't know that there were microorganisms that explained disease. We thought diseases came from curses or witches or ill-wishing or devils or dust devils. We didn't know anything from the childish, terrified, ignorant origins of our animal primate species, we come to religion. It's also our first attempt at philosophy, our first attempt at morality, our first attempt at healthcare, actually, but because it was our first, it is our worst. We now have better explanations for all these dreads, and we have cleared up all of these mysteries, yet we still dwell. And in some countries, in some societies, not just dwell, but live under a totalitarian regime that forbids us to think about the progress that has been made, or denies us the knowledge that these advances have in fact occurred. So it has become, where once it probably was an aid to our survival, a really great peril to our continued ability to live as a civilized species.
Yeah.
I want to spend all my time tearing apart that argument.
Right. Because
it fails pretty miserably in my mind to make a, it's not convincing. It's not interesting. If there is no God, he starts with the premise that there is no God. Mm-hmm. If there is no God, then he's right. Mm-hmm. Then we just get better and better and better over time because that is usually the reality of existence. Mm-hmm. We learn, we improve, we grow, and we should put behind us childish things like religion and faith and trusting God. Mm-hmm. If he's right, then that there is no God, then yes. But if scripture is correct and everything started with God, then maybe instead of criticizing the fact that scripture gives us the basis for what we understand about healthcare and morality and philosophy. If it gives, maybe we should give it some credit.
Yeah.
Like in a time when there was none of those things and it was able to speak to them, maybe we should say, actually, maybe we should admire that rather than criticize that.
Yeah.
And it just falls short in many different ways. Yeah. But whether people doubt because of that or because they went away from home and something bad happened in their life, when we go through these seasons of doubt, what we need is we need the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we just want to do it all on our own. Mm-hmm. We want to say, I'm going to read enough books, or I'm going to do enough research, or I'm going to figure it out on my own. Mm-hmm. I think we are desperate for the Holy Spirit to do a work in us. Mm-hmm. Philippians 1:6, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Mm-hmm. Paul writes to the church in Philippi to say, listen, if he started a work in you, he will complete it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we put too much on our shoulders and say, we're going to complete the faith.
Yeah.
We're going to grow it. We're going to mature it.
Yeah.
And I think as Wesleyans, we believe, no, it is God who sanctifies us, that we submit to his authority.
Yeah.
And so I think faith is much more about my intellectual understanding of the truth than it is about me submitting to his, you sanctify me, you grow me, you mature me. I don't understand. I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to submit to your to your leading in my life.
Yeah. I think, back to your suggestion that we go through these moments of doubt, I think that's actually part of our faith journey that God has a plan for and is actually being intentional about taking us through those times, because without those times, we don't come to believe. If it's just a steady stream in one direction. But then you make a valid point. So much, you and I feel like when we hear something like this video that we just watched, that, there's such tremendous arguments about that, right? Like, we know the answer. Like, this is where that goes wrong. This is where it goes wrong. And those can have a peace. They can be a valuable conversation at times for some, but they really aren't the answer.
Yeah.
The answer is somebody who says, God, I have questions.
Yeah.
I have doubts. Help my unbelief. Help me. If you're real, walk with me.
Yeah.
Show me that. And for letting God have interaction with that person rather than us saying, you know, kid, here's where that's dumb.
Yeah.
You know, that's not super helpful.
Yeah.
It from my experience. And in my life, I've had to have a journey with God where I've been open enough to say, I'm not going to reject you.
Yeah.
But I want you to know I do have some questions.
Yeah.
And help me with those answers. And he has miraculously over time, as I've been submissive and obedient, provided those answers. But it came from a heart attitude towards him, not an intellectual pursuit so much. Now, we have good answers, and you can pursue this intellectually. So I don't say don't do that, but you're right.
Yeah.
It's about the faith comes through the heart, not through the head.
Yeah.
And understanding that it doesn't mean we have a dumb faith that doesn't have solid intellectual answers. You and I could present a number of resources intellectually that's helped us. For instance, my reading of C.S. Lewis changed so much, right? Just was so powerful. Yep. But that's just my personality and how he brought about the intellect along with the heart.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think the key to what you're saying is when you have doubts, go to God, not away from God.
Yeah.
You don't allow your doubts to push you away from God.
Yeah.
Your faith leads you to God with your questions, not to separate from God because you have questions. You brought something up earlier. What happens if I die while I'm doubting?
Right.
If my relationship with God is dependent upon my faith in God, then if I die in the middle of a season of doubting, am I still in a relationship? Do I, if Thomas, who famously doubted Jesus' resurrection, Doubting Thomas is what we call him. If Thomas died before he actually got to see the resurrected Jesus, is Thomas going to heaven or to hell in that moment?
You know, when two answers. One, when anybody ever asks me about another person and whether in a certain moment they were going to heaven or hell, I always say, I have no clue.
Yeah.
The only thing, now my best understanding of that situation is absolutely, yes, he's going to heaven.
Yeah.
But the only thing that matters is, have I bowed a knee to Jesus as the Son of the living God? Have I believed in him? And as I've asked him to forgive me of my sins.
Yeah.
If I have done that and I've remained in a posture of bowing to him, and I have never rejected the Son of God, it doesn't matter what I'm doubting. It doesn't matter any of that other stuff you're going to ask me. I'm in, right?
Yep.
That's the thing that matters, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so I assume that probably when I die, I will be doubting something.
Yeah.
Because I'm always doubting something.
Yeah.
That's just who I am. And I know I'm not rejected by God in that. I'm going to heaven.
Yep.
This is settled, right? What happens in my life is there's always some doubt. I can't think of a single time in my Christian life where I didn't have some doubt.
Yeah.
So, and anybody I know who's being honest, yes, same thing. So, no, I would say doubt does not lead. Doubt is, as long as we use that as a moment to keep turning into him and asking, we're good.
Yeah.
It's only those who refuse to accept this Jesus Christ who died for them. They're the only ones who should be concerned.
And a little bit of healthy skepticism allows you to keep asking difficult questions so that your faith becomes more mature, so that your understanding of God becomes more developed.
Faith grows through doubt.
Yes. So when we ask those questions, we're actually growing in maturity, not growing farther away from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think often about the thief on the cross who just says, remember me.
Yeah.
That's his whole understanding.
Whole deal.
Like this guy has never been to Sunday school.
Yeah.
He's never prayed a prayer of salvation.
Yeah.
He didn't repent of any sins.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, remember me. Yeah. And Jesus is like, good enough.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I think sometimes we get into this habit of believing if you don't say the right words or believe the right thing, get baptized.
Yeah.
Or if I don't do this list in one way or another, and for us, it's a heart posture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is your posture towards God submitting to him?
Yeah.
Or is it still you trying to earn it on your own?
Yeah.
And that's the big difference. I was watching this debate between a Catholic and a Protestant this week. And they were arguing about if each other were saved. I thought it was worth watching.
The gospel, and what do you think it takes to be saved? Because if someone tells me, well, it takes this, this, and this as a part of the Catholic Church to be saved, Well, then we're both going to disagree. We're both going to think the other one is not saved, because I would say you're adding to the gospel. They would say I'm taking away from it.
Well, I mean, I'm very sad we're coming to an end, because there are a lot of questions that I actually want to
ask. I know. There's so much.
We have to do it part two. But, yeah. But for example, like soteriology, which is the theology of salvation, like baptism, the Protestant church, this is another thing that I struggled with. The Protestant church has a very interesting definition of like baptism, or at least what baptism means, right? And again, this is something a bit like I would argue with the Eucharist, with the real presence, where scripture is incredibly explicit. Unless you are baptized with water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This is, you know, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. These are two areas that I think, again, you want to use sola scriptura. I did use sola scriptura, and I got to those conclusions because I'm like, I don't understand how you could literally sit here and say, these things we do not take literally. These are only metaphorical in this circumstance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say that salvation, like, again, the Catholic Church would say the same thing. The Catholic Church possesses the fullness of truth, right? That is what I would argue. The Catholic Church is unique in its ability to possess the fullness of truth. The Protestant Church occupies some truth. There is truth within the Protestant Church. It is not the fullness of truth. Wow. Your fastest and most assured way of salvation is defined in the Catholic Church's doctrines, which include the fact that your moment of what I think you would describe as irresistible grace would be defined in baptism, right? Where again, we do nothing. In the moment of baptism, that is when grace is conferred to us, and that is when original sin is washed from us, right? And so this is why particularly infant baptism is upheld, and the early church, of course, agreed with that doctrine, which is why I think it's very important to say that. But that is what I would argue, right? And so, and of course, to retain your salvation after baptism, one must avoid mortal sin, which is where most people...
Yeah.
So, wow. That clip doesn't give the whole...
Sure.
Picture of their conversation. But really what it came down to is you've got a Protestant telling a Catholic that he's not saved because he does not believe correctly about what Jesus taught.
Okay.
His understanding of salvation is incorrect, so he's not saved.
Okay.
And then you've got a Catholic saying the Protestant is not saved because she has not done the things that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Baptism, Eucharist, in order to get saved. And I just, the whole time I'm watching this debate, they debated, it's a very long thing. The whole time I just want to scream saying, you don't get it. It's not, I don't have faith in my understanding of scripture. I don't have faith in my correct belief about how to be saved. I have faith in Jesus. I am saved. I am a child of God. Not because of anything I did correctly or anything I believed correctly. I am a child of God because of Jesus, because of his goodness, because of his righteousness, not because of my righteousness. So I say they're both saved. Maybe they don't know it, but they're both saved, whether they want to explain it correctly or not. If somebody wants to know if they're saved, and I get asked periodically the question, am I going to heaven? And my response is Jesus God? And if they say yes to that, I'm like, I don't care about anything else. You are a child of God because you have put your faith in Jesus. And if we start adding to that, we're weakening what Christ accomplished on the cross. He died to say, to accomplish everything necessary to make you a child of God. He did it. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. He says, if you commit a mortal sin after you get saved, now you're not saved anymore. Like, show me that in scripture. Did Jesus say this? Help me. Like, no. Do you believe in Jesus? You are a child of God.
What does he mean by mortal sin, I wonder?
So Catholics believe that there is a hierarchy of sins.
Yeah.
And some sins are mortal sins and some sins are not. Right. It's just kind of something they've created post-scripture that's...
Right.
And so if you've committed a mortal sin, I don't, there's a list of them. I think there's seven
That's
of them.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what those are.
I read them back in college, but I don't know what they are.
Right.
If you commit one of those mortal sins after you give your life to God, then you're no longer saved and you got to go get saved again, which is confession. Mm-hmm. It's their whole thing. I got to mm-hmm. confess my sins so that I can stay in relationship
yeah.
with God.
Yeah.
And so very works-based.
Yep.
But I'm one who gets pretty extravagant with my, like if people say, are Mormons Christians mm-hmm. or Seventh-day Adventist Christians mm-hmm. or Jehovah's Witness Christians, whatever, mm-hmm. like, do they believe Jesus is God? Mm-hmm. Welcome to the family. Like I am, but maybe some would say that's too gracious mm-hmm. and maybe we'll have
so more. You would say that where would you be in terms of accepting Jesus's forgiveness? Is that part of Jesus being God for you? Is what that's what you'd say, right?
Yep.
Like
yep.
accepting his grace is part of their belief that Jesus is God. So it's the thief on the cross who says, remember me.
Yep. Yeah.
And that, yeah.
Yeah. The thief never confessed to sin. He never said, mm-hmm. he's like, okay, I'm hanging on a cross. You know, I'm a sinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
this is obvious.
Yeah. yeah.
You're God.
Yep.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Never got off. He didn't get, Jesus didn't say, pause everything. We're going to get down off of this cross and baptize him.
Yeah. yeah.
So that
yeah.
he can get today.
Yeah. yeah.
You will be with me yeah. in paradise. Yeah.
And we're not saying that those aren't important things to do, because if the thief would have had the opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Because people were baptized yep. and people did do a more extended version of repentance of sins, and that these are all powerful things. Yep. But in that moment, he recognized, actually, it's Jesus who's going to be in heaven,
yep.
deserves to be there. He is God. And he asked because it's Jesus who could get him there.
Yes.
So he, in remember me, it's this is who you are. And if you choose to provide this grace, you could do this. I accept it. I mean, all of that is there in the belief that Jesus is God, we would say.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why he says, remember me. And Jesus says,
yep.
today you'll
yep.
be with me.
Yep.
We're going. I'm bringing you with. Right. And it was that simple.
Yep.
And Jesus, the thief probably, you know, do you believe in creation or evolution? I don't think the thief had all that figured out yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He just, this is God.
Yeah.
And so whatever, I'm with him.
Yeah.
Like he's it. Yep. And whatever else I don't understand or have doubts about, like, is not the issue today. Yep. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Faith, it's all about a heart posture.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
that's why it's confusing when you hear Jesus telling different people different ways to be saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like to the rich man, he says, go and sell everything
yep.
you have.
Yeah. Because that's what Jesus being God will be in his life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's yep. like, this is what it will look like for you to surrender to my lordship.
Yeah.
Yep. It will look different for this.
Yeah.
To this person, he says, believe and be baptized.
Yeah.
To this person, he says, whatever.
Yeah.
And each one, yeah. it seems like, okay, now we're just adding to the list. We got to yeah. do all, I got to yeah, sell yeah, yeah. everything. Yeah. I got to be baptized. Yeah. I got to repent of my sins.
Have communion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I got to go through this list because at different times he gave different instructions yeah. to different people.
Yeah.
What Jesus was inviting people to do was to surrender to his lordship. Mm-hmm. And it's going to look different in your life mm-hmm. than it looks like in my life. Mm-hmm. Surrender to his lordship. Mm-hmm. Do you believe Jesus is God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. Yeah. Yeah.
So
and like what we just heard in the clip, you could add to his list, sell all you have and give to the poor.
Yeah.
Because the scripture does say specifically that to that guy. So he could say, if you believe scripture, you believe. But we know as we understand the totality of scripture, just what you said.
Yeah.
That was his situation.
Yeah.
That was his situation. And it doesn't mean there's not a principle there that we should look at. We just did a podcast about investing and stewardship and all that, right?
Yeah.
So that's important, but it's not the key to salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which goes back to doubt, right? Goes back to this whole thing of making sure we have an enemy who is always looking to get us to say, maybe I'm not in.
Yes.
Maybe I'm not in.
Amen.
Therefore, it doesn't matter if I do this other destructive thing to my life.
Yep.
Because I'm not in. He just leads us down a path to destroy ourselves. And it often does start with, well, you're not really in.
Dude. Yeah. So, you just gave me chills. That's totally yeah. true. Like that's what he wants. That's his yep. tactic to get right. you to doubt your salvation. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as he can get you doubting your salvation, then he can lead that to a whole yep. bunch of other destructive behaviors.
Yep.
And yeah, we talk about being adopted into God's family And I think a lot of people want to imagine that as we're adopting mature people into God's family.
Mm-hmm, right.
No, no, we are infants. Yes. We are coming in. Yeah. We need milk when we first get saved.
Yeah.
I don't have the correct theology. I don't have the right answers. I haven't behaved correctly. The whole point of me being adopted into the family is that I need to mature. I don't expect that my child is adopted into my family, that they've got it all together. I'm adopting them into my family so that then I can help mature them. I can help sanctify them and grow them up to become the person that God created them to be, not expecting them to have it all together when they come to Christ.
Right.
And we've just gotten those things out of order.
There's expectations, but it's because we would love that child and want the best for them. And expect that there be a journey for that, right?
Absolutely. And so baptism, absolutely. Get baptized. Crucial. Yes. Take communion. Crucial. Absolutely. Practice the Lord's Supper. Grow, mature, learn. Give your mind more and more to God. Try to understand why he does what he does. Try to comprehend. Try to believe more. But ultimately, we say, even if I've got none of those things right, I surrender to
I'm going. I'm in heaven. Death has been defeated. It's over.
I hope you know that today that if you will say yes to Jesus, simple, easy, say yes to him, and then surrender to his lordship. Allow him to mold you. Allow him to grow you. So today, don't doubt your salvation. If you're asking the question, am I saved or not? The answer is yes. You're asking the question because you believe, because you want to know that. And so today, just run more toward him, not away from him. Don't allow your doubts to cause you to back away from God. Run to him. He's got the answers. He's got the solutions, even if we can't comprehend them. Put your trust in him.